What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, as we predicted yesterday, and not a huge surprise, unfortunate, but it is what it is. Kind of a lethargic Red Wing game last night. Had Gator flipping around, and you eventually ended up on
all right.
Curious Case of Benjamin Button, which evokes some emotion in our guy Scott here.
A lot.
That's okay. Well, it's quite all right, my friend. We all have that movie that hits us at a moment in time where you get a little teary-eyed, and for you, it's the first 5 minutes of Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
It's the whole damn movie, but the first I found out 5 minutes into it.
Did you enjoy it? If the whole movie hits you that way, is it enjoyable?
Because it makes you think. You start to question, well, why am I reacting like this? And then you start to dissect what's going on, and really enjoyed the concept of the movie of a guy who ages backwards. I think it's wildly interesting.
Okay, cool.
You know,
hey, for me,
seeing a 13-year-old kid start to experience dementia. You know, it's weird. Start the world as a baby, and the world as a baby. I mean, it's weird.
Yeah.
Great. That was really, really inventive way to look at things.
But yeah, 3-0 game in Boston.
No, that didn't help.
Did you see Casper take the puck off the face mask, off the shield?
I did not.
The puck goes into the corner, and it I don't know who it was for Boston, just turned to flip it out of the zone. Directly into Casper's shield. This was probably late second period, I think.
To get under the shield? Into
no,
the face,
it hit him. It hit him square. I went back and watched it. I rewound. It hit him square in the shield. He goes down like a ton of bricks. But it was just this weird moment in the game. Something caught my eye, and it didn't really. I don't think they even mentioned it. They might have, because after I reversed it, then I fast forwarded it to catch up with real time. So they might have mentioned it at some point in the interim, but yeah, he took a puck right off the shield and went down. And so at first you didn't know if it, you know, hit him in the exposed part of the face, which, I mean, hockey, was Sherratt a couple nights ago got the Panther defenseman in the face with a stick? I don't know why they just don't do full cages, I guess. Or full bubbles.
Well, right. Or there's a lot of things I don't understand with hockey, with the players. And with the sport itself, like if everybody's got these shields and then you're still allowing fighting in hockey, mm-hmm. Let them take the damn helmets off.
Right.
Don't penalize them further because they're taking their helmet off so that they're protecting the hands of their fellow, players.
Yeah. No, let me break my hand. I guess it's concussions. They don't want people to get concussions. They'd rather have them break their hands on helmets.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. 248-539-9797. Did some Piston talk with... Wonder if Giannis might be moving towards available with the most recent blow up with the fans last night. He gave the fans a thumbs down. He actively booed them. You could hear him on camera booing the fans after he had an and one. The Michael Porter Jr. rumors are picking up steam as we're moving in on, 3 weeks away from the NBA trade deadline. Pistons with some much needed time off, back in action tomorrow against Phoenix. Michigan State pulled away and hid from Indiana last night in what was an otherwise tightly contested game. But in the end, they just made it look easy with the way that they finished that game, winning by 20. I think it was like 53-53, and they won 81-60. I have to see the maybe it was 51-51.
It was something like that. I saw at one point it was like 55-53 Michigan State, and knowing that Michigan State won it 81-60, like they scored 7 the rest of the way, and Michigan State just took over. Yeah, it was great game from Fears. Yeah, with 26 and 25 and 10 assists, and I think it was Carson Cooper had like 16 and 10, and they were. The team can get after it. It's a good basketball team where different guys step up each night, but it would certainly make you feel better if one guy every night was there, and Fears can be that guy.
With 13-11 to go in the ball game, they were tied at 51. Indiana scored 9 points the rest of the way.
Oh.
All right, so one of the surprising developments yesterday was Mike Tomlin stepping down as the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And look, his struggles in the postseason have been well documented. We kind of talked about it a little bit earlier. I would say, Scott, that he is a guy that I had nothing but respect for. I had envy of the fan base and the team and the organization that had him. From afar, I just felt like he was everything you want in a coach. And I think everybody's got a guy like that in sports. I'm not a Steeler fan, and I don't even actively root for them. But I just had nothing but respect for Mike Tomlin. I love Mike Tomlin. But with no affiliation to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like none. But who in sports currently do you look at and just have nothing but admiration for? Plays for another team. You're not a fan of that team. You don't even really root for that team. It's like, that guy is awesome. Does it the right way. It can be a player. It can be a coach. It can be a general manager. Who in sports is your Tomlin? Because for me, Tomlin's my Tomlin.
Tomlin's your Tomlin.
He's the guy that I felt like, you know, was what you want in a head coach. And I love the guy. But I never once sat down and said, all right, I'm going to watch the Steelers and I'm going to watch Tomlin coach. I watched Steeler games, but I didn't. It wasn't like appointment viewing. But every time I saw him, I loved him.
Yeah, Vrabel might be that guy.
Yeah.
He's just a great coach. I'm really warming up to Cignetti.
Yeah.
Because of what he's done in Indiana in 2 years, and he hasn't done it by having, you know, a roster chock full of five-star recruits. Although, get ready, because that might happen in the future. But
sure.
Until that happens, what he's done in two seasons is incredible with a whatever it is now, a 26-27-2 record in 2 years, and now he's playing for a national championship.
Cignetti's a good call. Cignetti is interesting in that when he first popped on the scene, shot off his mouth, which can rub fans the wrong way, but and it seemed ultra cocky, the Google me line, which when you back it up, man.
Yeah, it comes off that way, and then now I'm looking back at it, and I'm like, I don't necessarily know if he was a jerk or a canoe about it. I think that's just part of his it's confidence rather than being an arrogant ass. You know what I mean? Like, it might be something different there. Like, there's more to it than just a one-liner of Google me. I mean, he says it with sheer confidence and not like, I don't know if it's boastfulness necessarily, even though it kind of is. I think that's kind of why I'm leaning towards liking the guy a lot.
Is that right?
Yeah, because it's more confidence than it is cockiness.
248-539-9797. Who would be on your list of guys that you just have always, you couldn't help but you're like, I love that dude. I think that guy's awesome, even though you had no rooting affiliation with that team. Because Tomlin was number one for me.
You know what else is for me? Hockey coach John Cooper.
Oh, really?
With Tampa. I just think he does things the way you should do things. Mm-hmm. He gets the most out of his team. You know, he's been to the Stanley Cup Finals a number of times. He won the Stanley Cup. And it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of noise coming out of there of like hockey players upset with how things have gone. Coaches in the NHL, it's almost like they have a shelf life. Like, you can't, if you're successful, it's a short shelf life. Maybe it works for a few years, then you got to move on to the next team. Like, Mike Keenan was always moving on to the next team.
Right.
We've seen it here in Detroit. When Mike Babcock was moving on to the next team. And there are plenty of other guys, Ken Hitchcock and other guys in the league that have done that. But John Cooper stayed. He's been there for a long, long time now, and he's built up this great reputation. He seems like a great guy. You know, and coaches off of his tree have gotten head coaching gigs elsewhere, and it hasn't worked out for those guys, but darn it, he's got the tree that people are willing to try to pluck from.
Who you got, people? 248-539-9797. We'll talk to you next. 97.1. You admire them from afar, the way I admired Mike Tomlin. 248-539-9797. You're not a fan of the team. You just think that guy, whether it's a coach, a player, could be a general manager. Who do you have like that sports crush on where you're like, that guy's awesome? 248-539-9797. Danny in St. Clair Shores, you're on 97.1. Hi, Danny.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Good to talk to you guys.
How you doing, sir?
Good. I kind of stole my thunder. I got a player and a coach, definitely John Cooper. What he does for Tampa year in and year out, and, you know, you listen to podcasts, read articles, he just seems like an all-around great guy. And just his teams are always great. And then player, just I always find myself checking Denver Nuggets box scores. I mean, what the Joker does is phenomenal. The guy's a walking triple-double. He can pass like Sabonis back in the day. He's just special. I don't catch a lot of Nuggets games. They're on a little too late for you know, my taste, but I'll wake up and I'll, you know, I check Nuggets box scores just to see his stats.
Yeah. He's a hell of a player. And one of the best things about it is that he is probably the highest ratio of doesn't look like a player to being an absolute baller of all time.
Couldn't have said it any better. Appreciate you guys. Keep being great.
It's funny. You know, I was listening to a Ryan Russillo podcast, and I can't remember who he was talking to, somebody with the Nuggets. And they said there was a lot of selling that had to be done based on how unathletic he looked.
Right.
Like they were like, the guy just makes plays. Yeah, but look at him. Yeah, but watch him play.
Yeah, but
look at him.
Yeah, well, he just scored 40.
Yeah.
Had 12 assists and 18 rebounds. What are you doing? Yeah, but look at him.
Mm-hmm. 248-539-9797. Feedback coming into the Carson Anderson inbox. Mike Tomlin and Sean Payton. Just consistent winning. That's from Scott. From Ben and Macomb Township, Jalen Hurts questionably lost his starting job at Alabama. Never said a word. Glad he was on a Super Bowl winner. Class act.
Yeah, he's one of the guys that just wins, just gets it done. And yet this is a season that Philadelphia fans are like, what the hell happened there? And then they fire the offensive coordinator again.
Mm-hmm.
So, see if he bounces back. But he's had that kind of career. Just kept proving himself.
Let's go to Matt next on 97.1. Hello, Matt.
What's going on, guys?
How you doing, sir?
Good. I got two quick ones and then two that I want to mention, but I'm not going to because somebody's going to take them for sure. But two coaches, both Michigan State guys, and these are guys I wish ill on their teams. There's not no affiliation. I'm a Michigan fan. Can't stand Spartans. But D'Antonio and Izzo, I mean, put aside how D'Antonio left the program at State, you look at those guys and there's a long list of coaches you wish you had that were like those two, right? So
they have, I mean, the best football and basketball coach in school history.
Yep. And then for nostalgia's sake, because of the week that it is with Fedorov, man, Joe Sakic. I mean, when the Avalanche, I don't think I've ever, other than Ohio State, I don't think I've ever hated a team more than that Avalanche team right there. And like,
but you can't hate Sakic.
No, he never seemed like he fit with that group. And I think I heard something on one of the documentaries where Red Wings were like, you don't mess with 19. Like, yeah. Do whatever you want to whoever you want over there. But 19 is safe. Like, he was like the other Yzerman. Like,
yeah, podcast it was. I saw it on that. I think it was they were talking about Sean Avery when he was with the Red Wings. And Sean Avery was talking smack to Joe Sakic all the time. And I forget if it was Steve Yzerman or somebody else on the Red Wings that took Avery aside and said, shut up. You leave Sakic alone, and because he's that well respected, he was that kind of guy. You know?
You got nothing but respect for this out of towner, no affiliation with the team. For me, that guy was Mike Tomlin for years and years and years. He steps down as a Steelers head coach. Now reports that he's not interested in coaching at least for a while. He's going to be out of the game. Wants to spend time with family. Good for him. You do you. But man, I had a ton of respect for him. Mark writes in. Justin Jefferson is my guy. I love that guy.
Yeah, I agree. He's great.
Those Netflix documentaries, Receiver, made me really like Davante Adams and Justin Jefferson more than I ever expected I would.
Yeah, when the guy said Sakic, it started to get me thinking. The other one I really like was Ray Bourque. Huge Ray Bourque fan.
Brian in house says, for me, it's Sidney Crosby. Yeah, hot take from a Detroit fan, I know, but he's the standard in the NHL for class and how you're supposed to do everything. As he's gotten older, he's become great with the media. He does more for the Pittsburgh community than any of us will ever know. Sid is the standard bearer.
He's great and continues to be great, and playing in an era where there aren't enforcers that are out there to protect you. Throughout his entire career, he's basically played in the enforcerless era, and teams have taken advantage of him, and he just continues to get out there and put up more than a point per game throughout his career. He's had to miss a lot of time because of that, because he's gotten concussed. But, I mean, tell me this. Would you not want to have Sidney Crosby on this team right now?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's hard for me to shake the Red Wings standing at center ice while they continue to celebrate and celebrate and celebrate, and eventually the Red Wings giving up. I did not like that.
Waiting in line at the Joe.
And I don't know the degree of culpability that falls on the captain there and Sidney Crosby. But it felt like it was a long time they made the Red Wings stand there in what had to be a bitter moment for the Red Wings. And they tried to do the right thing, the thing that everybody does. And Pittsburgh just continued to celebrate and celebrate down in that corner. And I was like, I didn't blame the Red Wings for giving up. But Paul Maurice, coach of the Florida Panthers, he'll make you want to run through a wall for him. That's from Oliver in a car.
Yep, another good one.
I have the utmost respect for the job Sam Presti has done and continues to do in a small market in small market OKC. That's from Chuck. Yep. Oklahoma City went through a stretch where they were just purging and purging and purging, then drafting and trading very well. And the next thing you know, they got, as a caller said earlier, 30,000 first round picks and a talented young roster good enough to win it all. They really built it the right way. Unnamed texter, I'm a lifelong U of M fan, but a nothing respect for Izzo. Lane Kiffin, he's willing to do what's best for him. That's from an unnamed texter. Well, he is that.
He might be the exact opposite of what you're looking at. Is he a little selfish?
I mean,
I mean, that's what he said in the text, right?
Yeah.
And he has respect exactly for what he said. Yeah, he respected that.
I don't know if I respect that.
Well, he didn't say for you to respect him.
These are facts.
Yep. Well, different set of standards there, I guess.
Is that a selfish guy saying, I like that guy, he's selfish?
I know.
Like that guy. He's a real ass. I like him. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Well,
he looks out for numero uno.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't care who he steps on and who he ruins along the way. Yeah, I don't know that I would put in Lane Kiffin anywhere near this list for me. 248-539-9797. Guys you've admired from afar. Who would you put on that list? In the meantime, we await news on the Detroit Lions and their offensive coordinator situation. Dan Campbell said it was the first thing he had to take care of. It is a lot of interviews going on this week. Mike McDaniel in Tennessee today after being in Detroit yesterday. We cross our fingers, but when another job comes open yesterday, do you think the Ravens have any regret moving on from John Harbaugh, considering the fact that Tomlin stepped down? And is that like the biggest nemesis for the Ravens in that division?
I know what I'm saying? No, I know what you're saying. And again, I think both situations are real similar. One team decided to fire the coach and the other team had the coach just walk away. And in both situations, I think maybe they just got stale. I'm more surprised with the Ravens firing John Harbaugh than I am, I guess, that Tomlin's going to walk away. Tomlin was in a hot seat, it seemed like, and they just weren't going anywhere with what they had. They're going to have to totally retool at quarterback because Aaron Rodgers is not the answer. And I did think they got a lot of pieces they got to figure out on that team. Whereas Baltimore, it's just like, hey, that's a really good team. They missed a field goal that would have put them into the playoffs. And I think Baltimore-Houston game would have been a lot more interesting than a Pittsburgh-Houston game. But nonetheless, both coaches are gone. Do I think that they regret that? I think they may just regret that they fired him to begin with because he's a heck of a coach.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you never go back. You don't go back. But when you fire your guy and everybody else wants him, and then his biggest nemesis in the division steps down, you have to ask yourself, Now, the goal, I guess, isn't to win the division.
No, the goal is
to win the Super Bowl.
Exactly. But. And you got to find the next coach who's going to come in and be able to motivate the players, motivate that team to go above and beyond where they've been. You know, get over that hump. Why is it Lamar Jackson can't advance that team in the playoffs? It's not just on the quarterback, but I mean, the quarterback is the face of the team. He's an MVP caliber talent every single season. What do you do to get him over the hump? There's got to be somebody bringing in new energy because maybe the message, like I said, got old and stale with Harbaugh. You knew what you were getting year in and year out, but you know, if the team got a little lackadaisical with that and just relaxed on it, then time to move on.
248-539-9797. More of your phone calls are coming up. In the meantime, fun with Vegas odds today at 1235 here on 97.1.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, Kang behind the glass. Kenny on phones, 248-539-9797. Tomlin retires. Who are guys that you just had nothing but respect for from afar? You don't have a rooting interest in their team, but you just see him and that dude does it the right way. Feedback coming in. An unnamed texter says, Fernando Mendoza. Every time I hear him speak, I think that kid was raised right and how proud I would be as his parents. Jacob in Minnesota says, Kirk Ferentz is the last of a dying breed of a coach who stays with a team for over 20 years.
Might be.
Let's go to Nick on a cell here on 97.1. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how you doing? So back in the day and stuff like that, I mean, I think we all picked up the newspaper. You know, we didn't have SportsCenter like that. But Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire back in the day watching that home run chase. But then – also, right now, I follow Terry Francona as a coach. You idolize him. Just the moves that he makes and all the bubble gum he chews, right?
Francona is – I agree with Francona. That's one of those guys. You know, he just – get nothing against him, and he just seems to do it the right way and get his teams playing at a high level all the time. Like, there's not a whole lot to dislike with Francona except that maybe he's managing the team that you despise.
Right, absolutely.
But it's not because of him. It's just because of the history you have with that organization.
Exactly.
Interesting that you cited two players that are in baseball that are actually rather controversial from the steroid scandal.
Right. Well, I mean, but that saved baseball back then. To me, that whole era saved baseball from the strike that was. You know, it got more attendance. It got kids wanting to go play baseball again.
It did. It definitely had that impact. They, you know, I guess there's mixed feelings on those guys. And for all the saving that they did, I feel like they're getting ready to do their best to kill it again. 1 year from now.
Yeah, that's true.
With a looming work stoppage.
I have a weird one, guys. And it's not like this guy needs any, you know, sympathy or respect from others, but I'm going to go with Arch Manning. Okay, here's why. Highly recruited freshman, hasn't transferred yet. I want to see someone start a school, highly recruited, you know, recruit, stay with the school the entire time. That's
what?
It.
What?
That's all I want, man.
It's crazy talk.
It's crazy talk, right? But the fact that he came there, didn't start right away, didn't even start till this past year. And I know NIL and all this money he gets, I get it, okay? But he still could have gone somewhere else and got that money, and he didn't.
I just respect that. And wait his turn.
Yes, he did that. And guess what? He might not even go pro this year because he wants to get better. I don't know. That sounds crazy. But
look, the Arch Manning that I saw didn't look like a guy who was overrated.
No, he got better as the season went on, and the best game he played may have been the last game he played.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, what, a true sophomore?
No, he's a junior.
Oh, he is a junior.
Yep. 248-539-9797.
He'll be a junior? He's a junior, right?
No, I think he sat for 2 years.
Yeah.
He sat for two years.
That's what I was, it's crazy.
Yeah.
A freshman quarterback, that how they recruited out of high school, sat for 2 years.
Yep. Backed up Quinn Ewers. Let's see. Eric Spoelstra, from video coordinator to the Heat head coach and U.S. national coach, all without ever playing 1 minute in the NBA. That's from John in Lake Orion.
Spoelstra doing it without LeBron.
Yeah.
Gives him legitimacy, right?
Yep. I have a ton of respect and love for Andy Reid going back to his time in Philly. 248-539-9797. Chris in Commerce. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Doug. Hey, Gator. How you doing?
What's all up? Right.
Good, good. Yeah, one guy, I hate the team, Tampa Bay, but John Cooper, class act, great motivator, great coach.
This guy is getting, this is turning into a John Cooper appreciation segment. It's the third time his name has come up. No, it's okay.
Really? Yeah.
The John Cooper from Tampa Bay. Different John
Cooper. Yeah. I thought Stevie was going to go get him. But I am happy with Todd McClellan, but I thought he was going to go get John Cooper.
Yeah. Understand.
A lot of love for him. Gator, are you ready for Fun with Vegas Odds?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Here's what we do. We find things that have the exact same odds, and if you're forced to bet one of them, which would you bet? Gator, we'll start with things that are 2-1.
Okay.
So all 2-1. If you're forced to bet one of these, which would you bet? 2-1 that Michael Porter Jr.'s next team is the Pistons. 2-1 that Travis Green, the head coach at Ottawa, is the next NHL coach fired. It's 2-1 that John Harbaugh will be the next head coach of the New York Giants. It's 2-1 that the Kansas City Royals will win the American League Central. And it's 2-1 that the Carolina Hurricanes will finish with the most points in the Eastern Conference. All those things, 2-1.
Look at which you would starting you off strong here. I like it. I'd go with John Harbaugh to the Giants. It seems like there's a lot of smoke there. I think the Giants are committed to trying to make him their guy, and they've got the certainly. You know, it's New York City. You got money to go ahead and spend on that coach, and I think they might just outbid everybody else for him. I'm going to go with John Harbaugh to the Giants.
Kang, out of all those things that are 2-1, which would you go with?
I'm sticking with the coach theme too, but not that one, Gator. I've got Ottawa's coach Green getting canned. I mean, hockey coaches just get fired all the time, and that's a safer bet to me than any of all the other ones you put out there.
I think you're right. I think Ottawa is a huge disappointment, and I think the Ottawa Senators moving on from Coach Green is the most likely of the 2-1s, but I guess at 2-1, all of them have a really good shot.
Yeah, I know my puck, man.
Next up, these things are all 11-1.
Kind of feel like I want to parlay some of those 2-1s.
It's good. The parlay bet. It's all you, my friend.
Do them all, Gator.
Get better odds.
Yeah, that's how they sucker you in.
Oh, is it? I didn't realize that.
These things are 11-1. The Tigers win the American League 11-1. The Washington Capitals win the Eastern Conference 11-1. Nebraska basketball reaches the Final Four 11-1. The Orlando Magic win the East 11-1. And the Mariners win the World Series 11-1. Which of these 11-1 bets would you make?
Boy, I'm going to go with Nebraska getting to the Final Four. It's a scrappy team that probably gets overlooked by a lot of people. Tigers winning the American League, I think that's awful tough to get to the World Series based on what they've done this offseason. I don't buy it. If it were the Mariners to win the American League, I'd go for it. But to win the World Series, no, I don't see that. Yeah, I'm going to go with Nebraska getting to the Final Four. And I don't feel great about it.
Well, they're all 11-1. Yeah. Kang?
I got to go with the Mariners, led by a young pitcher named Logan Evans. That's right. Doug Karsh, our co-host here on the Middays, will be torn during the American League Championship Series because they'll be going against the Mariners and Tigers. But then the Mariners will win, then you won't be torn anymore.
Bold-ass prediction here. Look at you. January 14th.
Yeah, I just want a jersey from him, that's all. Can you make that happen, Doug?
He did, he probably could. He for his crew. Well, I'll tell that story later. He did something awesome for him and my son and his buddies. I'm going to go with Nebraska to the Final Four. I agree. I think they're legit, Gator. So I'm on board with the Cornhuskers. I mean, they won at Assembly Hall the other day. They beat Michigan State. Nebraska is something. All right. These things are all 16-1. 16-1. Michigan State wins the Big Ten in basketball. 16-1. Kevin Stefanski, the next head coach with the Pittsburgh Steelers. 16-1. Jeff Blashill from the Blackhawks, the next NHL head coach fired. 16-1. John Harbaugh, the next head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. 16-1. And Braden Smith from Purdue wins the Wooden Award for the best player in college basketball. 16-1. Which of these would you play?
I like these better than the 11-1.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Michigan State could win a Big Ten championship. I mean, they've done that with teams that haven't been as good as you thought they
were. They've done it with worse teams.
Yeah, and actually, this is a pretty good Michigan State team. I'm going to go with... Now, is it Blashill be the next coach fired or just Blashill gets fired?
Next NHL head coach fired.
Okay, I don't think... I'm going to go with Braden Smith winning the Wooden Award. He's a guy that really pads a stat sheet, and that people like to look at that. Purdue's a good basketball team. I think he's won what Big Ten Player of the Week like three times already this year. I'll go with him.
Kang?
You guys know I know Puck, right? So yeah. I got to stick with the, you know what, 16-1, but someone's getting fired in the NHL, okay? So with that and Ottawa's coach, I'm going to cash in on one of these two. I'm going Blashill.
Hedging his bet.
I actually agree with one of you. And again, it's Gator. Brink Smith is averaging 9.8 assists a game and is shooting over 40% from three. He is so much fun to watch. So I'll take Braden Smith from Purdue being named the Wooden Award winner as my 16-1 pick. There it is. Fun with Vegas odds. All right. Lions ownership sent out a letter yesterday. Something in there that sparked a conversation here in the at the station. We will get to that today at 12:50. Also, I'll tell you a couple cool Logan stories straight ahead here on 96.
What's up? It's Draymond Green back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
7-1 The Ticket. All right, so my nephew, two things. He's got this crew that my oldest son is involved with. There's like five of them. I think there's five of them. And they text about sports all the time. And they do like every guy does. The guys just give each other hell constantly, rip it on each other, including sure. The one major league pitcher in the group, right? And my nephew for Christmas brought back game-worn jerseys and signed them and made a little note to each of his friends. But it was like, okay, this is the jersey I wore at Yankee Stadium. Here's my first win. His debut jersey he kept.
But his first win he gave away?
I think he gave away his first win. They were all jerseys that had some significance. And he kept the jerseys. Then they held a draft. They each drew a number. And the boys got to pick which jersey. And then he made a personalized message to him, which was just an awesome idea.
Was the message written on the jersey or was the message written on a note?
It was written on the number.
That's really cool.
Yep. I thought that's creative and awesome. And for his close-knit group of friends.
Yeah, because that's cool on a bunch of fronts. And to me, what's cool about that, and I don't, Kang's probably going to disagree with this because of the collectability of it, but I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I'm not looking to sell. Right. Yep. So if I get something that's personalized to me, somebody says, you know, to Gator blank or whatever, I think it's awesome. Or to Scott, you know, best wishes, whatever. I always appreciated that as opposed to just buying something for the collectability of it. Now, it's not to say I haven't done that. I've done that with a couple of things, too. But, other things that I kind of cherish because they were personalized. Like Kirk Gibson signed something to me years ago. It was great. And I cherish that. So I think that's really, it's really cool because these are his friends.
Yep.
And the guys he knows, guys he grew up with. That'd be really cool.
So it was it was a road Mariners jersey. And in the number, you know, he wrote, signed it and wrote a special message, which I just thought was really, really cool.
That is cool.
And a cool gift. The other thing though is guys being guys. Did you happen to watch the Manning cast the other night?
I don't think I did. No.
Okay. So Eli said, I got you a gift, Peyton. And there was this big,
they cracked me up.
They are funny. It was like this big wrapped tall package. They started to open up and you could tell it was framed. And in the middle, there were a bunch of, couldn't really see it at first, but they looked like a bunch of little squares in the frame. In the middle, there was a plaque, and the plaque said, NFL record, 28 interceptions, Peyton Manning rookie season.
Yep.
And it was the football card from that year of every player that picked him off. So he got him a framed poster of every player that picked him off, which reminded me that Logan's crew, my son and his friends, when he came home for Christmas, they were all going to go get jerseys
of the players,
of every player that hit a bomb off.
Sure.
So there would have been two Jazz Chisholms. There would have been like, so we should do that for Christmas. That's just what guys do to each other, is even though one of them is a successful major league pitcher and he's awesome and I'm fired up for him. Super proud of him, but his friends, what do? They still do what guys do to their friends. They give him a hard time.
That's cool.
Even though they're all just completely, completely.
I love what Eli did to Peyton. Isn't that hysterical? Savage. It's great.
It is savage. And Peyton was dying laughing.
The things they do on that show, the Manning cast is, I think it can be a hard watch sometimes. There's a lot of them talking over each other and talking over a guest because there's a delay. But there's also a lot of stuff like football stuff that's interesting. But when they're joking on each other, it is funny. It is really like when Eli's making fun of Peyton's forehead and they've got that picture, the caricature they drew, and it's just his giant forehead that they have it framed in the background of it. It's hysterical.
Okay. Yesterday, Sheila Ford Hamp sent out a letter to Detroit Lions season ticket holders. And, I thought these types of things aren't unique. And it's not particularly long, so I'll read it. But what she said it sparked a conversation here at the station. But here's what she wrote. I want to start by thanking you for your commitment to our team and support you show throughout the season. I'm always blown away by the energy you create inside Ford Field and the advantage you give our team every time we run out of the tunnel. I also want to acknowledge that our results on the field this season were not what any of us envisioned, and frankly, we're not good enough. While we do not believe it's time for drastic change, this is an opportunity for us to refocus, evolve, and move forward. I'm proud of the roster we've built and the 36 wins we've accumulated over the last three seasons. That success doesn't happen by accident, but it also does not guarantee future success. It is incumbent upon us to continue growing towards our ultimate goal of bringing a championship to all of you and the city of Detroit. I can assure you we are committed to looking at everything we do to ensure we're performing at the highest level. Through conversations with Rod, Brad, and Dan, we are aligned with this thinking and have already started meetings to address how to move forward. We're excited for what 2026 will bring and some of the new elements we will introduce for all of you, our most loyal fans. Thank you again for your commitment. Go Lions, Sheila Hamp. Good.
That's pretty well written.
Good.
Pretty well stated. Yep. So, fans would like to see the not good enough. Not up to their standard, what they wanted, but also keeping people in check. And it doesn't mean we're rebuilding.
We're not satisfied, and we're not going to pretend like we're satisfied, and we're going to...
Doesn't guarantee future success.
While we do not believe in it, it's time for a drastic change. It's an opportunity for us to refocus, evolve, and move forward. Do you think anybody will have an issue with, we do not believe it's time for a drastic change? I mean, I know I don't.
I don't think it's time for a drastic change. I think it's time for some changes, and there are going to be changes. Obviously, they're changing the offensive coordinator. That's a change. They may or may not change a defensive coordinator. Those would be big changes. Not drastic, but big changes. You're never going to make everybody happy. right? I mean, we've taken the calls. People, there are some people that don't want Brad Holmes to continue to, you know, be the general manager of this team. There are some people that have said they don't like Dan Campbell as head coach of this team.
If we get a particularly hostile caller regarding Campbell or Holmes, we always ask, well, would you fire him? And some people say no. And that's, you know, I think it's an important line of delineation. Yes. Others say yes.
But I think it's a very small, very, very, very small percentage on both of those people.
I agree.
So I think this is a well-crafted statement, well-crafted letter, and I agree with everything she said in it.
Yeah. With that said, this sentence, it is incumbent upon us to continue growing towards our ultimate goal of bringing a championship to all of you in the city of Detroit. I want to focus on that. What is that continue to grow move that is possible that would be the biggest leap forward towards bringing that ultimate goal? Okay, so what is it that if they do it this offseason, you think, yep, that's it. That's the continue to grow move that I needed to see that leads me to believe they're going to bring a championship to Detroit. 248-539-9797.
I mean, to me, it's a statement rather than the one move, but it would be more than one move, but it's a statement. That is, you have to improve the offensive line. And I think there was an admission last week from Brad Holmes about that and taking a serious look at the guys they have in-house. And even he admitted there was an article today in the Free Press about it where he had said last week that, you know, they're not under any illusions thinking that you know, someone like Giovanni Manu or Corby Soderstall, they can step right in and do the job. That they don't, they think that's not realistic, mm-hmm. Based on where they're at right now. So good. That means because he basically said until they see what's going on in OTAs or mini camps. But that's going to happen after the draft. So until then, you've got free agency in the draft to assess that and address that. And I think they will with center and tackle specifically. They have to address both of those positions.
Something I didn't expect here. I looked down at Twitch and Depth313 says, I disagree, Doug. She should have outlined the whole offseason plan in this letter. Is that sarcasm or do you think that's probably sarcasm?
That might be sarcasm.
Koi Boy 1 says, yada, yada, yada. Thug Aim says, her letter should have just said, we're good. And expect hostility towards the letter. Yeah, some snark coming about the letter. I think it's getting Tyler Linderbaum, and I don't know how ridiculous that is, but if they get him, that'll come at a significant cost.
Well, if I'm going to be the new head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, my first move is to secure Tyler Linderbaum.
Yep.
But that's one of the moves that you have to look at. If it's out there, find a way to get him. But they have to find a way to get a center and find a way to get a tackle. Even if Taylor Decker comes back, I think you have to look at that position and say, we need to find somebody. Because you're losing Dan Skipper too. And if you're already reticent that Giovanni Manu or Corey Soderstall are not answers for starting positions for this team, then okay, find somebody else that's going to be a better backup that does have the ability to start.
248-539-9797. We just read the letter that Sheila Hamp wrote to season ticket holders. One, if you got one, what's your reaction to it? What did you think? The other one is the line, it's incumbent upon us to continue growing towards our ultimate goal of bringing a championship to all of you in the city of Detroit. I mean, this is fancy words for we're going to make a move. We're going to make some moves. What is that continue to grow move that is possible that would signify to you that's the biggest leap you can make in an offseason to ultimately, indeed, bringing that championship to Detroit. Let's go to Paul in Clinton Township here on 97.1. Hi, Paul.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Now, as I told, you know, call screener, allow me to, like, you know, read into something here, okay? To me, a drastic change, which she said they're not going to make, is the GM or the coach. I mean, what else could it be other than the quarterback? And, I mean, they're kind of locked into him. But to me, she said, we're not willing to make a drastic change, meaning replace the GM or the coach. She said it in a manner where I think it is a very subtle shot across both of their bowels, or maybe one of them,
and they may know who it is, but a shot across the bow to say, hey, we're good with, but this can't happen again. I mean, that's how I kind of read the comment a little bit. You know, she said, we're disappointed, but we're not going to make a drastic change now. I mean, now I'm kind of paraphrasing the words.
I see where you're at. I mean, because it's like, okay, you know, one time we can let slip one season. We can't let this be the norm. You know, we're building this to build it to the championship. And if you're not in the playoffs, then you're not building towards a championship.
Yeah, like I personally think this season, for Brad Holmes in particular, who I'm a huge fan of.
Real quick here, Paul, we're up against it real quick.
I think he cut 1 year off his hot seat window. He went from a hot seat next year to next year is it. I mean, in terms of you have to fix the team, make the playoffs.
248-539-9797, open lines. How did you interpret that letter? And what do you think that all-in-one move is? 97.1.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.